Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Go ahead, lift your hands and surrender. Father, we just come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for a cool breeze. Thank you. Thank you for fresh air. And thank you that we have dominion over the prince of power of air. Thank you for your stripes we're healed. And your blood washes us. Thank you for forgiveness, for the price of your son, Jesus, for the seal of the Holy Spirit and the angels that bear us up. Thank you, Master. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction as we repent for every word, thought, and deed that we've done that has offended you. Again, wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence, fill us afresh as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and take us to another level that we can kick more devil in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. Praise God. How's everybody? Isn't God good? I'm telling you. Awesome. Grab your swords and turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, also I want to mention the last day's teaching. There's a 5 CD teaching with 2 DVDs in there. If some of you have watched them already, I'm sure you got a little revelation and an impartation. In Matthew 24 and verse 3, let's read it together. Now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? In other words, the end of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name and saying, I am the Christ or the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now we have been in the beginning of sorrows for a while, and they're constantly increasing. And one of the things I want to share about is where it says there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Famines mean lack. In the famine, it means there'll be lack. We know that famines, sometimes there's lack of rain or there's a lack of sunshine or whatever it may be. But what I'm talking about in this, I really believe that we are in the arena of lack of financial. The world is plagued right now, or what I should say, there is a famine of a financial problem right now. There is lack financially. Many people are going to the streets. Many people are running to the government for help. And of course, that's a ploy of the enemy to bring people into slavery. And these earthquakes is about the earth shaking. It's a shaking of the earth. And we know that there is a shaking going on, isn't there? And pestilence is a representation of plagues, diseases, or sicknesses, which we see more and more of right now, isn't there? And I want to talk about some spiritual diseases, or what we call spiritual plagues. And we're seeing all kinds of things coming up like never before. You know, there was the plague or the spiritual disease. We had AIDS, and not that it's gone away. And then there was viruses and all kinds of flus. And if you've noticed, even yourself, that some of the flus and viruses that have been going around for the last few years, I mean, man, they come and they go, and they're hard to shake, and it's, you know, they're getting tougher in every area. And now we've got, what's that? H1, N1, and no one knows what it really is. But they want to vaccinate everyone. And I can only share with you, ask God whether you're supposed to get it or not. I don't want to place my opinion because I don't want to misdirect anyone. But I'm telling you, ask God whether you should get it or not. Hello. signs of the end of the age of grace. And then we know the wrath of God unless we're rescued by the rapture. So I want to share a couple of things about what is really happening. And one of the things is the Spirit told us He would always do is keep us up to date. And we're seeing these things. These things we cannot just ignore, put them underneath the rug and talk about them later. I think they need to be talked about now. I think it's a responsibility for teachers, pastors, and evangelists and so forth to seek God that He can give to His people what they're supposed to have, to keep them updated and directed. We're to be a step ahead of the devil or make a way of escape from the devil. Go to Ezekiel 38. You know, the Lord always gives us counsel, correction, and direction if you're listening. Ezekiel 38. I know your fingers are a little bit slow today. Come on, this is awesome. We're in the park, man. We're free. Glory to God. Verse 18. Would you read it? And it will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day, there'll be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And I'll bring him to judgment with what? Pestilence and bloodshed. I'll rain down on him, on his troops, and on many peoples who are with him. Flooding rain, great hailstorms, fire and brimstone. How many of y'all know we've had more fires and destroyed by fires than ever. More flooding than ever. Freak storms that are happening all over the world. Tsunamis, all kinds of things that are happening right now, more than ever before. More pestilence, which is spiritual diseases. In verse 23, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now understand that these things come for judgment, for warning, for awakening, for divine chastisement. These spiritual plagues or diseases will produce death. Sin is the presence of evil. Everyone say that with me. Sin is the presence of evil that carries the spiritual plague or disease. Demonic forces carry these plagues. And the end result of these plagues or diseases can be what? Death. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It is sanctioned by a curse approved or allowed by God. Because a curse, in other words, the Bible says, blesses a man who trusts the Lord and curses a man who trusts man. So people bring self-imposed curses upon themselves that bring a plague or a spirit, a demonic force that carries a plague. How many all addiction is a plague? It carries a spirit. And these plagues, the end result is death unless there is a rescue of some way. Go to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 14. Everybody there? Let's read this together. Start at verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. What was that distressing spirit? He was a demon. And he was a tormenting spirit. He was tormenting Saul mentally. He was a plague. It was causing mental anguish. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a demon or a distressing spirit from God is troubling you." Now we know that the Lord lifted his presence from Saul because Saul's continuous disobedience. And let me tell you, when God has put his presence on you and then lifted it to you, every demon in hell wants you. In verse 16, "Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on a harp. And it shall be that when he will play it with his hand, when a distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be what?" Well, that's amazing that his servants knew how to get rid of the demon. And people today don't even know how to cast out a devil. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and handsome person, and the Lord is with him." Now this is pretty interesting because David hadn't been in any war yet. But they called him a man of war. Because you know why? The anointing. See, the anointing, so check this out. The anointing made him a skillful player. The anointing made him a mighty man of valor. The anointing made him a man of war, prudent in speech, well, and handsome person. All things are possible. You're handsome in the spirit. You're beautiful in the spirit. In verse 19. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who was with the sheep." See, God looks at us and we're all beautiful and handsome. But the Bible says that we're wonderfully made, aren't we? Praise God. Got out of that one. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, then sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." How did he find favor in his sight? The anointing. See, people either love you or hate you. They'll either love you or they'll hate you. Because of the anointing. So it was whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become what? Refreshed, well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. So we know that the importance of worship. Why? Because worship maintains the anointing. And it's amazing that even right now there's so much more worship that's going on in the body of Christ, more than ever. Amen. And you've got to worship till you die. Why? Because you want to maintain the anointing. The Bible says that the anointing, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing. So you got to maintain the anointing. Is everybody okay? Go to Exodus 7. Exodus 7, verse 14. How many of y'all know we're in the wilderness? Amen. And the spirit that rules right now is Pharaoh. And this will, and then once the beginning of sorrows ends, the spirit of Antichrist will rule for the first 3.5 years of tribulation. And in the last 3.5 years of tribulation, Satan himself will rule. But thank God we're not under the rule. But right now, the spirit of Pharaoh is ruling over the world. We know Satan is behind everything, but he's using the spirit of Pharaoh. Is everybody okay? And in verse 14, we know that the Israelites were taken captive to Egypt. The word Egypt means worldly or world. In verse 14, it says, "So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go." And this is what happens when an individual becomes hardened. When their heart becomes hard, when they become rebellious, their heart becomes hard. What they do is they fall under the rule of Pharaoh and don't even know it. And this can happen to a believer. Go to the Pharaoh in the morning, and when he goes out to the water, you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to what? Blood. Now I want to just do a couple little parallels here. You know, there are many areas where our water is contaminated. In fact, I really believe that most of the viruses and flus and things to that degree are spread by water. And in that, people are now, for some unconscious reason, they're buying more and more bottle of water because they don't trust the water they drink out of the tap. Are you listening? People are buying more and more water because they do not trust the water that they're drinking. And it's very possible that some of this water just isn't good enough. In fact, if you really knew what you were drinking in the water, it kind of blow your mind. And the cities will give you a result of what's in your water. And if you knew what was in your water, you would go, my God, they're allowing me to drink this? But to them, their level of water and cleanliness is different than my level of water. Let me tell you that. So sometimes people are, it's a little bit safer to drink bottled water or get filters on your water in your tap so that you're not drinking all the chlorine and all the other stuff and all the other garbage you got in that water. But I'm sharing this just to let you look at where we're at right now because we are in the wilderness. And there's a lot of things that are going on in parallel with what went on with Egypt. But the Bible tells us that we're rescued. The Bible tells us that we can eat and drink anything and it won't hurt us as long as we bless it. Now, you can't cast out calories. Hello. And if you're going to eat a bunch of fried food, it's going to catch up with you. You can't live on candy bars and Snicker bars every day. So what you eat, you also will become. You can't eat a lot of burnt popcorn either. That'll hurt you eventually, too. In verse 18, and the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loaf to drink the water of the river. Now we know that a lot of fish are now being contaminated. A lot of tuna has a lot of mercury in it, and there's all kinds of things that are happening. But sometimes we just take these things nonchalantly, not realizing the parallels of some of the things that are going on by divine chastisement. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, and over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Now, I'm not going to go on through all of it, but I'm sharing with you that there were 10 plagues. And in these 10 plagues, we know that the waters were affected, right? There were frogs, and these frogs were carrying diseases. There was lice. These lice carry diseases. Flies. All of these things started from these plagues. There was the livestock were now affected. Look at how much livestock has been killed now from certain diseases. Boils were put on people. Boils are also a representation of tumors. Hail, weather. Locusts came to eat all of the grain and so forth. And that's associated with famines because look at right now. You know, they're closing down places. They closed down a valley in California that was feeding almost 38 million people, and they closed it down to save a worm. Yeah, they stopped providing water there. The environmentalists said, that's it, we're done. You guys can't, you're going to kill the little wormy and, what is it? and a fishy. And so they shut the water off to a valley in California that provides food to almost 38 million people. So there's all kinds of, it moved a lot of people out of jobs and everything else. You know, and I'm just sharing this with you because Pharaoh is trying to do everything he can to get people into the slavery and dependency upon government. And then it says, and then darkness came upon the earth during these plagues. And it's called blindness. And many people are blind right now. Blindness is a plague. Spiritual blindness. In this, many people began to get a hardened heart and rebel and turn the other way. Remember, the world is Egypt, and we are born into these spiritual plagues. You're born into them. You were born in darkness, but you're born again in light, thank God. They have increased more and more. Now, again, we've seen the AIDS viruses and all these other things and more diseases that are rising. Even leprosy. You know, in fact, if you recall a story about Moses and his sister Miriam, she came against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. And the Lord put leprosy on her. And so Moses went to the Lord and prayed and said, man, can please take this off of my sister? And he said, no, she's got to hang with it for 7 days. Well, I saw this actually really happen. Because, and some of you might have heard this before, but we were doing Bible studies in one of our homes. And there was this woman that used to come to all the Bible studies. And every time she'd come, she'd say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And I'd pray for her and so forth. And one time she came and said, pray for me. And the Lord said, tell her to pray for herself. And I did. Well, she shot me the bird. And it wasn't one that was flying. It had no wings. And I was like, whoa, manifestation. So I didn't say anything, and I turned away, and she came to Bible study the week later, and she came with sandals. And she had fungus all over her feet. And the Lord said, I plagued her just like I plagued Miriam. So I turned away and I went and prayed. And the Lord said that she'd have to hold on to it for a few weeks. And I said, that's it. And it blew my mind. Because, you know, we don't realize sometimes what we reap because of what we do. The Bible says, come not against my anointing. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. And man, when I saw that, it blew me away. I put the reverence of God on me, I thought, whoa! Better be careful what we say. We don't realize it. Eventually, then she had to go, and because the Lord didn't heal her yet, and she had to go to the doctor and put all kinds of stuff on her, and this, that, and whatever. And it took about 3 weeks. I called it the plague of leprosy. It's the bird plague. Exodus 15. So don't get the bird plague. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Who tested them? The Lord wanted to know if they would trust him, right? And said, if you diligently, I said, everybody say diligently, heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Ah, so he makes a way of escape, doesn't he? Go to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. How many of y'all know that some of these plagues are inherited? Amen. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. Would you read it with me? And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyan not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Come on, are you getting this? He's saying, listen, man, you got to heed my voice. You got to follow me. You got to obey me. And the Lord is seeking. Now he said, listen, he told the king, he said, you blew it, man. He said, sure, I brought him to you because you trusted me, but then you didn't trust me when I brought him to you to do what you were supposed to do. And he got away. But he says he's searching, he's looking through the whole land to and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Strong on your behalf. Everyone say strong on my behalf. To overcome, to heal, to deliver, and to provide. Only to those who are loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly, he said. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Dumb move. For he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased. In his feet. Ooh, chihuahua. He got the bird disease. And his maladies was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he what? But physicians. He went to the doctor instead of the Lord. Listen, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor, but I'm telling you better go to the Lord first. You go to the Lord first, and he'll direct you what to do. I'm telling you, he's healed me 4 or 5 times. He's even warned me ahead of time sometimes and told me I was going to be afflicted. I'm not saying I haven't gone to a doctor, but I go when God's not healed me yet or he hasn't told me. And I'm not going to put my children in jeopardy either. If I pray for them and God doesn't heal them, to the doctor. Who am I to say how God's going to heal? But I'm going to go to the Lord first. You go to the Lord first. Sometimes he'll direct you and tell you, man, just worship me. Go to the Friday night anointing service and get healed. Decree that by his stripes you're healed. Listen, these plagues and these things that are going on people now are going to get worse. You're going to stand out because it hasn't overcome you. It won't overcome you if you're loyal to him and you're taking heed of what you're supposed to do. Is everybody okay? In other words, he always makes a way of escape. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, is everybody there? Would you read verse 1 with me, please? Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, I'm telling you, he's got the greatest benefits. He's got a wonderful insurance plan. And they're fighting over health care. We don't have to fight over health care. We worship health care. We worship the provider. Who for who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. But see, it goes back to the area, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that's within me. In other words, what he's saying is worship, sow in the spirit. Deny yourself. Be loyal to me. Now, I'm not saying God can't heal you by death. Because when you die, you wake up, you healed. You're healed. I prayed for many people that have died. Lord said, what are you worried about? I said, man, you're supposed to heal them. He said, I did. I said, oh. I was hoping you'd heal them on this side. He said, I got work for them on this side. Go to Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. Is everybody okay? Really, when I first got invited here, after my encounter with the Lord put me in a ministry, which was a healing ministry, a global healing ministry, casting out devils, seeing signs and wonders and everything. And the assistant pastor took me under his wing, brought me to the hospital, and started praying for people, and they were dying. So what's up? He said, they're getting healed. This ain't my way of healing, man. And then one day, there was a gentleman who had AIDS and he had brain tumors, 3 brain tumors. And I went to the hospital and I prayed for him and I didn't feel nothing. And I... About 2 weeks later, I went to this meeting because I ministered to people that had AIDS and so forth. And he was there with this big hat on. I'm thinking, oh, man, he's got a huge bandage under there. And so people were giving testimonies and stuff. And so he stood up, and I thought he was going to give a testimony how the surgery went and whatever. And he said, yes. He said, guy came and prayed for me, and the next morning they brought me into the surgery and getting ready to do the surgery, and they did a scan, and all the tumors were gone. I went, hallelujah! Finally! And I wanted to go to the hospital and pray for everybody then. And then I've seen more and more people getting healed. See, but one of the things God wanted to, I think he really wanted to impart me, it's not about a feeling. And God's got his way of healing. You know, and I've been afflicted and all kinds of things and healed. And then there's been a process, and sometimes it's been immediate, where there's miracles that happen immediately, then healing is a process. But one of the greatest healings you can be healed of is a free of torment, oppression, fear. See, because even when you get afflicted, if you're already healed from those things, you just praise your way through because you know your Father's faithful to meet you at the other end, either on this side or the other. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to somebody? They can go home. Praise God. And see, if you're really dead to yourself, then the devil can't kill what's already dead. But it's a counter for everybody to die once. So I suggest you die to yourself first. Then you won't have to be concerned about the other death. And Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4. And it says, they did not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of what? Harlotry is in their midst. And they do not know the Lord. Now harlotry is associated with worshiping other gods. You know, worshiping materialism. Worshipping the things of the world. In verse 5. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. I'm telling you that the plague or disease also is pride. Pride is a disease, and the result of pride is death. It's the number one disease to mankind. Pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Verse 6. With their flocks and herds they shall go seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, and they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Now I want you to understand that this is happening right now. There is so much pride. Pride. In the area of self-confidence in that they can provide for themselves with not seeking God. Trusting in their bank accounts and in their own labors instead of trusting in the Lord and giving them glory that he provides those talents. And it's happening right now globally where people are now producing pagan children that are now worshiping money, fame, power, things of the world, materialism. Those are pagan children. You can find it all over the television. You turn on the television, it's amazing what people will do for a buck. Eat worms, snails, jump off of cliffs. And then people are selling themselves on TV to the highest bidder. I mean, it's phenomenal, the pride and the arrogance that has excelled tremendously. And pride is a plague. It is a disease. Let's go a little further. It says, blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I'll make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he has willingly walked by what? Human precepts. In other words, humanity. The way the world thinks. Human precepts. Therefore, I'll be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Yow. The spirit of harlotry. Worship of pagan gods, materialism, sexualities, worldly lusts, and produce pagan children that carry the plagues of pride, lust, carnality, producing death, and manifesting divine chastisement and judgment. Revelation 15. And then one more scripture. Revelation 15. And it's good to hear the pages shaking on a Sunday morning. Oh, two more scriptures, sorry. I repent. Revelation 15. Is everybody there? Then I saw another sign in the heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last what? Plagues or diseases, for in them the wrath of God is complete. So we see that right now there's all kinds of warnings because we have in the beginning of sorrows, but they're going to increase where tribulation will start. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing at the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple, the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, having their chests girded with the golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels was complete. So we see these plagues. Now each plague, first of all, each seal carries a trumpet and a bowl or a vial. So you can, if you read the book of Revelations and the seals are like the conclusions, they're like the overall. And then the trumpets are like the areas where things are beginning or the start or the warnings. And in this, during the trumpets, you can see that a lot of the devastation is on the earth. And the earth and decrees in certain events. And then the vials or the bowls are actually the plagues themselves during the tribulation period of time. But you can see that things are increasing and increasing and increasing, getting closer and closer to this point. And in Psalm 91, if you'll go there for one momento, spiritual diseases. So we know that these things started in the spirit, didn't they? And who carries them? Demons. Demons. Sin is the presence of evil. Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say the Lord is my fortress, my refuge, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Perilous of pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday." In other words, you got to get close. Only he who hides in the secret place of the Most High will be protected. Are you listening? I'm telling you, religion won't protect you. Religion will not protect you. Relationship will. Religion will not protect you. Religion will forsake you. Relationship will protect you. Amen? And I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 2. If anybody hasn't gotten the gift of tongues, it would be a good day to do it. Just ask my wife, she'll pray for you. Is everybody okay? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Would you read it with me? "For to this you were called, because what? Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, must live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd an overseer of your souls." Hallelujah. You got it. This is where we're at. It's important that you stay in a secret place. It's important that you trust him. It's important that you decree his word. It's important that you worship and stay filled with the Spirit. And it's important that you keep denying yourself, because this is where we're at. Things are going to get harder, stronger, but your light will shine as long as you're filled with fresh oil. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask, Father, that the seed be protected by the blood, and it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?